Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
Anyway, we are finishing up today our series called Heroes. Heroes. And so we've been looking at heroes of the faith from Hebrews chapter 11. All right, so Hebrews chapter 11 is, some call it the faith chapter, the hall of faith, you know, and it's talking about heroes. And then what each of the messages over the past few weeks have been about are a Bible hero that our speaker chose as someone really inspirational in their own life, and what we can learn from that hero, how that can apply to our lives here and now. So Hebrews 11 chapter 1 says this: "Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, or some translations say the evidence, of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." This is very interesting because the whole point of this chapter is not just about these incredible faith people. It's not just that these are really inspirational Bible characters. But what it's pointing out is that faith is actually having a deep conviction about something that is not seen with our eyes. And I feel like over the past month especially, God has really been highlighting, even Pastor Matt said it this morning as we opened, what we see. That God wants to give us kingdom vision, to see people, to see the world, to see situations through his eyes and with his perspective. And that's why we start by saying, God, set a fire in my heart. God, would you start in my life like, I want more of you, God. I want more of you, less of me. And that action of doing that, I believe it positions us to see more clearly with God's eyes. And everything changes. We talked to somebody last week who got eye surgery. And he literally said his vision is even better than 2020. I think he said, is it 2015? Is better than 2020. He's like, I can see far. I can see clear. I can see details. I mean, it's incredible. He said the procedure was like 30 seconds. Just quick. Just like that. Just an instant. And then suddenly now he can see so clearly. And I don't know about you, but as I get older, my eyes don't work as well as they used to, you know, and so that I understand that perspective of, wow, I can't see far. It used to be really clear. So I'm praying like, Lord, how am I looking at things around me? You guys know about politics, just the world that we're living in. There are so many things where people are telling us how to see it. And I want to see it through God's eyes. I want to see it through the lens of God's love and his grace and his forgiveness. But we got to start out by asking God, give me eyes to see the way that you do. Because in our flesh, we see one thing, but God sees something else. And I think that what the world needs is for the church to see them, see all of us more through God's eyes. So it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. Their commendation, that's like, you know, their awards. their good job, their you did it right, I commend you, well done. Like they got that by faith. They didn't see the fulfillment of the promise. I mean, this is a list literally in the Bible of people who were incredible people of faith, did not see the fulfillment of the promise of what they had faith in. And so it's like literally telling us that the whole point of faith is having such an assurance and such a trust in who God is that it doesn't matter if I see it with my own eyes. I know it is happening. I know it because God said it and he will do it. So it doesn't matter if you see your great-great-grandchild love the Lord. You just know in your heart, God's going to do it. God's going to do a miracle. I know it. And so one example of that faith is Rahab. And so our hero today that we're going to talk about is Rahab. And Rahab is an interesting one because she's a prostitute, right? So it's kind of almost like a contrast, like here's these amazing men of God and then here's this one woman that was this prostitute, and you know, even her, like, wow, that's amazing. It says in verse 31, Hebrews 11 verse 31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Another translation says, by an act of faith. It was an action. She did something, right? She didn't just sit back. She did something. And Rahab, the Jericho harlot, welcomed the spies and escaped the destruction that came on those who refused to trust God. All right, so Rahab is interesting. Rahab, her story's mainly in Joshua chapter 2, all right? So in Joshua chapter 2, what's happening is the people of Israel are about ready to take Jericho that God has promised them, right? They don't know how that's all going to work out. So Joshua sends two spies to Jericho to scope it out, to find out what's going on there. And so, you know, these two spies go, and what's interesting is the first thing they do is they go to Rahab's house. And I wondered about that. You know, I wondered, like, how did these two spies end up at Rahab's house for shelter? How did they know to go there? What? I always wondered that. Like, I don't know. It seems kind of weird. Were they looking for a prostitute? Like, is that what they were doing? They're like, okay, we're going to Jericho. Now's our chance. I was like, okay, I don't know. So I looked it up, and what I found was that Rahab wasn't just a prostitute. She was an innkeeper. She was like a person in the city that had a place to host out-of-towners. Now, you know, it's a little nuanced what all she did there, right? It does say that she was a prostitute. So probably what was happening there was that she kind of had something like an inn where people could stay and lodging and then other things that she offered and food and, right? So it was like kind of a one-stop shop. That's what I'm thinking. But people knew when they showed up that this was where to go. And so that's why they went for shelter, right? Because they couldn't just wander around the city. They needed to get inside somewhere, and that's where they went. They went there because it was like a place to spend the night. It was an inn. It was like, okay, I found the hotel. So they go there, but then this is the interesting thing, is that Rahab and all of Jericho had heard about what had happened in Israel. Not in Israel, but with the Israelites, when they crossed the Red Sea and they were fleeing Egypt. Now, I'm curious how all that happened, because I was thinking, well, they didn't have text messages or YouTube, or how did they know? But we forget about the fact that the people of Israel wandered in the desert for a very long time, right? It was a very short journey, technically, from A to B, but because of their disobedience to God, they wandered for a very long time. So word had gotten out about how they had fled Egypt, how they'd gotten out of Egypt, you know, the plagues, the Red Sea parting for them, the Red Sea closing on the Egyptians. I mean, those two things, you can't mistake that, right? I mean, it's one thing, low tide, and then the one group gets to walk on dry land, but then seconds later, the other group of people come, and then they just get killed, drowned. I mean, that's clearly God's power showing off. So Rahab had heard about this, and she says to the spies, I will help you. I will help you, but you got to help me. And she recognized something. She recognized that God had already given the Israelites Jericho. She knew it. She knew that they had the power of God on their side. She recognized that. And she's like, I want to be on that side. So she said, would you please protect me? I want protection. I will help you, but you got to help me. You got to save my family. In Joshua 2:11, Rahab declares, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. She recognized this, and she demonstrated this faith in God's sovereignty and his power. And I would say she also showed a lot of courage. You know, this woman was maybe not in the safest part of the city. I don't think so. I think that she wasn't on the inner part of the wall. I think that she was on the outer side, and she probably was in a more vulnerable location. But she was just one of the city. I think I also probably should point that out. Jericho was not this holy, God-fearing city. So whatever Rahab, the prostitute, was up to, it was just a part of the culture of that city, okay? So she wasn't like this horrible person that was being ostracized. I do not believe that from what I have read in the scripture. She was just a part of the city, okay? But she recognized something. When she heard about what God was doing, something shifted inside of her spirit, and she recognized that that was the true God, the powerful God, and the God that she wanted to live for. So she risked her life, all right? Like I said, she was fine in her city. Like she was, I think she was, you know, she even was in communication with the guy in charge of Jericho. He goes to her and he's like, have you seen the spies? I heard that they went, you know, to your spot. Where are they? And she lied and she said, oh, they're already gone. They were here. Yeah, that's true. But then they left and they went out the gate. They're gone. Too late. Meanwhile, really, she had put them up somewhere and hid them under some piles of hay or something. And this, what she had was, you know, quick thinking. She was negotiating with the spies. I mean, my goodness, she was really quick-witted about the whole thing. I think that's very heroic. She's like, all right, I will help you, but you got to also help me. You know, I mean, she's thinking ahead. And then the spies agree. They say, yes, we'll protect you, but they give her this bullet ready, and they say, you got to hang this out of your window line for the Israelites. When we take Jericho, we will spare you and your family, all right? And so she became a part of the Israelites. Literally what happened. She was like, okay, God is on your side. I think I know what's coming for my city. And I mean, Jericho is powerful. Recognize this. Jericho was a powerful, thick walls, and Israel was a small little group of people. They were not a powerful people in contrast to Jericho. So it's important to recognize that this woman was not just placing a good bet. You know, like when you see the really strong big horse and then you see the little pony and you go, which one's going to win? It's probably going to be the big horse, and you're putting your money on the big horse. You're going to come out ahead. She was betting on the little pony, but that was because she saw something. She recognized something. Her spirit recognized something. So I just want to make that really clear. That's why it's heroic to me. is because it wasn't the obvious choice to go with the Israelites. The obvious choice would be, my city is powerful, it's fortified, I have favor here, it's fine, I get to do my thing, I get to work here and live here, my family's good. But something inside of her said, whoa. She heard what happened, and she recognized that that had to have been the power of God that was on their side. And so what's interesting is we've actually talked about this, I believe Mother's Day, we referenced Ruth, right? Well, Rahab became Ruth's new mother-in-law when Ruth married Boaz, okay? So Rahab is a part of the genealogy of Jesus. So according to Matthew 1:5, it says that she becomes the great-great-grandmother of King David. And so she's a part of that line. Like, it's crazy to look at the fact that she was so significant to the story of Jesus' redemption for us, that she's a part of that. And it was because she was courageous. It's because her spirit recognized what God was doing. She had eyes to see it, and she acted on it. And I wonder if sometimes we struggle with all three. Maybe we get one or two. We struggle with all three. Sometimes we recognize what God is doing, you know, and we'll see it, but we're afraid to be a part of it. We're afraid to act. Sometimes we just don't take the time to act. We have better things to do, you know? I mean, and she recognized the urgency of it. She really did. And so the New Testament references her, like I said, in Hebrews 11. James 2:25, Rahab is also mentioned as an example of how faith must be accompanied by action. And this is something that I believe God has also been highlighting. So our eyes to see, and then the other thing is faith in action. So it says, in the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? And that whole point in James 2, which I love the book of James, so much. I think it's a great book. All the Bible is good, but I'm a big fan of James. And that part of scripture is saying that faith without works is dead. So here's the thing. Faith alone is what, right? Faith in Jesus. It's not something we do to earn God's love or his favor. But what James is pointing out is if you have experienced faith in God and he's done something in your life and you recognize that, it will produce some sort of action in your life. There will be works. And it's not working to get God's favor. It's not working to get God's forgiveness, his grace. It's an overflow, a result of the experience of God's grace in your life. And he's saying, I think this is very interesting. I believe he says here, in verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. It says in verse 15, another example of this, it says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And it's the idea of, you know, a body without a spirit is dead, right? When spirit leaves the body, this flesh is dead. And so if we have God's spirit inside of us and we have surrendered our life to him, something is going to flow out of that. Something good, something loving, something gracious. I do not say perfect. I did not say perfect, but there should be something that we're doing that proves, that demonstrates what God has done for us on the inside. And so that's the reason why there's actually scripture, right, that says, let's not be lukewarm, right? God will spit you out of his mouth. You know, don't say, Lord, Lord, you know, and not love people and serve them and care about them. And I understand that sometimes we do pray for people that we can't solve all their problems. You know, like I've prayed for people to get a car and I didn't have the money to buy them a new car. I get that. I don't think that we have to do all the works. I'm saying we have to be willing to do what we can. And whatever God has given us and entrusted us with, we need to be obedient to act on that. What Rahab had was a place of shelter. She had a place to hide the spies, right? So she did that. She did what she could. And in the same way, I think that's what God's looking for from us. And he says that, like, what do you have in your hands, right? David, when he defeated Goliath, it was like, look at what you have in your hands. He had some stones and a slingshot, and he used that. God uses, like, what we already have, what he's already deposited in us, what he's already given us. So, you know, I mean, yes, maybe he'll give you more things in the future. But let's be obedient with what he's given us now. That's what I really love about our church community, is I feel like we're being really obedient with what God has given us here and now. And that is what faith looks like. Faith looks like trusting God and being obedient with what he's given us, even when we can't see the whole picture, even when we can't see the promise fulfilled. And then it's not faith if you wait to see the promise fulfilled and then you say, okay, now I believe. That's not faith, actually. Faith is a trust in God that looks beyond what we see in the natural with our physical eyes and what we see with God's spirit, what he allows our spirits to see. And that is transformational. And that will be the way you treat people, the way that you even think about yourself, it will pretty much change everything, I think, in our lives, the more that we allow that to become a reality. So, verse 39, Hebrews 11, verse 39. And all these, though commended for through their faith, did not receive what was promised. All these, they're acknowledged for their faith. They are recognized in that very special Hebrews 11 faith chapter that I think it'd be really cool to be on that list, right? Really cool. That's like, you know, the top 10 or top 20 of the world influencers, or I don't know, People magazines, something. They have top whatever. Like, this is a big deal to be mentioned on this list. But it says, they were commended through their faith. They did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And so what he's saying is, like, again, we're part of God's story. We are part of God's story. We are not the whole story. And so, like, part of Rahab's fulfillment of the promise, yeah, it was the act of faith and the courage and the helping the spies, and then her family was saved, and then she got to live with the Israelites, and that's great. But then what? Part of the fulfillment was through her son and through her grandson and generations beyond. That the fulfillment came later, and things that she didn't even live to see with her own eyes. But that's because, again, God wants us all to be a part of it. There were other people that also got to be a part of God's story. Is that not good news? I think that's really good news. That's why I'm so excited, shameless plug, that in a few weeks we're celebrating Lighthouse's 30th anniversary with our former pastors coming. We're even flying in the pastors that live in San Diego were coming, And the reason that I love that is because we are all just a part of God's story. And can we just be faithful in where God places us and be all in when God asks us to do something and be like, I am here, God. If you can use anyone, you can use me. I don't feel like I have enough to offer. I don't know. Moses was like stumbling over his words, and God insisted on him being the one to speak up. He says, come on, I've assigned you. And he kept trying to push it off, right, to his brother. But God anointed him. And it's like the same for each of us in this room. I see that. God's anointed you. We get to be faithful in season. And so we're getting to honor these pastors that have been faithful in different seasons and acknowledge them and remind them that they're a part of what God has done and that God continues to do it even without them, which I think is pretty cool too. I think that that's very freeing to know that God is the one that's at work doing stuff and God's the one that's doing the healing and God's the one that does the miracles in our lives. And the point of that is for God credit and for God. And because, like I said, I like the fact that San Bruno and the Bay Area is kind of a broken place because I think that that's where God gets to show off his power and his healing. And I love that we have a pastor that moved from Russia to come to San Francisco because he saw what was going on in the streets of San Francisco and he knew there's Russian immigrants there and they need Jesus. And I love that where other people are running away, there's people that are staying strong and even people that are coming as missionaries to the Bay Area. How amazing is that? And this is an opportunity for God to show his love and his power in our families, in our community. And so I'm really, really excited about that. And I hope you're excited about that too. I hope that you feel God's grace, knowing that He recognized Rahab, the prostitute, that it doesn't matter what we have done. One moment with Jesus, our eyesight changes, our vision changes, and the whole direction of our life can change. And so just one moment, so it doesn't matter what we've been doing. What matters is what you choose to do today moving forward and who you choose to link arms with. And who you choose to allow to keep speaking in your life. And then the other thing that I would say, I just have to leave us with this, is we also have to stay really humble. And again, how we look at people. Because maybe we think we're better than them. Maybe we think we don't do that thing that they do. And I think that God's pretty clear in the Bible that he really likes to incorporate everybody. He's Jesus Christ, friend of sinners. That's who he came for. He came for our brokenness. Now, he came to heal us from it and to transform us, but this is what he came for, and this is who he uses. So would we, again, as we're asking God to change our vision, that we would see even the most broken people around us as people that God's just excited to redeem? So they can be a part of his story and bringing healing to others. I mean, that could we see people with that and see the potential of what will happen when God grabs a hold of their lives? I mean, that's pretty exciting. And if we can look at people like that and pray into that, I think that's an amazing place to be.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.